Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from John Russell, Pete Musto, Ann Ball, and Katie Weaver. Later, Anna Mateo will bring us this week's health report. But first,
a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier strike group has begun routine operations in the South China Sea. The operations came despite a warning from China not to interfere with Chinese sovereignty in the area. The U.S. Navy announced the operations on Saturday. The strike group includes Nimitz-class aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson. The Navy Times reported last week on the planned operations with information provided by unnamed Navy officials. The report clearly angered China's foreign ministry. A foreign ministry spokesman urged U.S. officials not to take any actions that challenge China's sovereignty and security. China claims the man-made islands are part of its territory, along with many other parts of the South China Sea. Satellite images suggest China has added military weapons to some of the islands. Other countries with territorial claims in the sea are the Philippines, Vietnam, Taiwan, Malaysia, and Brunei. A U.S. Navy release said the California-based Carl Vinson Carrier Strike Group left last month for a deployment to the Western Pacific. A Navy official was reported as saying the deployment would, among other things, contribute to freedom of navigation and lawful use of the sea. Freedom of Navigation Operation, or FONOP, is meant to show military force and free movement of shipping in international waters. But the operation represents a test to countries holding territorial claims in disputed areas. China has objected to earlier freedom of movement exercises performed in or around its territory. The U.S. military has carried out at least 4 FONOP operations in the South China Sea in recent years. The most recent one took place last October, when a U.S. Navy destroyer was sent to waters near Chinese-claimed islands. At the time, a Chinese official called the move illegal and provocative. In the past, China has sent military airplanes and/or ships to follow American ships taking part in freedom of navigation exercises. The U.S. government defends the operations, saying they fully comply with international law. During a recent visit to East Asia, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said the U.S. military was prepared to hold future freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea. Zach Cooper is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, or CSIS, a research group based in Washington, D.C. He says, international law is clearly described in the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea.
Beyond 12 nautical miles from the shoreline, basically any country can fly, sail, or operate military vessels in those areas, despite the fact that some countries claim that they can limit that sort of operation.
Cooper has been watching new U.S. President Donald Trump. He thinks the new U.S. administration is likely to take a more assertive position to freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea. Cooper added that the next test for China's government could be in waters near Mischief Reef in the Spratly Islands. China has been expanding that man-made island for years and has reportedly built extensive military positions on the reef.
I would expect that one of the early operations that the Trump administration might do would target Mischief Reef by sailing fairly close to it, demonstrate that the new administration is willing to accept more risk to directly challenge Chinese claims.
U.S. freedom of navigation operations can send an important message to any state testing international maritime law, he added.
It's important for the United States and other countries to demonstrate to China that where the law has been made quite clear, that those countries are not going to be intimidated into walking away from what is very clear international law.
Still, Cooper said, it is not likely that freedom of navigation operations will stop Chinese militarization or existing projects in the South China Sea. But he said it could prevent China from claiming and developing new territory. China recently announced a proposal to change its own laws controlling how it can react to foreign ships entering its territory. According to the country's official Global Times, a draft of the law would empower maritime authorities to prevent foreign ships from entering Chinese waters if it is decided that the ships may harm traffic safety and order. Cooper said the revision suggests the law would give China the power to declare control over foreign ships passing through the South China Sea and other major waterways.
If China was to revise the law in that way, it would again directly contravene the restrictions on those kinds of domestic laws that are in the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. So in many ways, it would be seen, I think, as a direct challenge to the UN Convention.
He said other nations should send a strong message to China that they would oppose such changes.
Malaysia's Prime Minister Najib Razak said his government's investigation of the killing of Kim Jong-nam will be objective. Kim Jong-nam was the half-brother of the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. We have no reason why we want to do something to paint North Korea in a bad light, but we will be objective, Najib told reporters on Monday in the Malaysian capital, Kuala Lumpur. Japanese broadcaster Fuji TV released video footage that appears to show Kim Jong-nam being attacked in Kuala Lumpur International Airport last week. Two women, believed to be North Korean agents, participated in the attack. One of them appeared to put poison on Kim Jong-nam's face. Officials have not confirmed this footage. Tensions have been rising between Malaysia and North Korea in the week following the killing. Early on Monday, Malaysia recalled its representative in Pyongyang, the North Korean capital. Malaysia's foreign ministry said it had recalled its representative for consultations. the North Korean ambassador in Kuala Lumpur, raised doubts about Malaysia's impartiality. He said the man killed in Kuala Lumpur's airport was not Kim Jong-nam. North Korean officials have tried to prevent Malaysia from doing an autopsy. An autopsy is an examination of a dead body to find out the cause of death. Instead, North Korean officials have insisted that Malaysian authorities release the body to them. Malaysian authorities have said they will release the body to Kim Jong-nam's son, Kim Han-sol. Malaysian police said they were hunting for four North Koreans who fled the country the day of the attack. They have already detained several other suspects. Malaysia is one of the few countries that maintain ties with North Korea, and this dispute could further isolate the country. Following the news of Kim Jong-nam's death, South Korea convened a meeting of its National Security Council. South Korea's Prime Minister, Wang Kyo-an, was nearly certain that North Korea was behind the killing. The North Korean regime's terrorism tactics are getting bolder, so we must be more vigilant, Wang said. Kim Jong-nam had been living in Macau under Chinese protection. On Saturday, China announced that it had suspended all coal imports from North Korea, a vital source of revenue for the country. I'm John Russell.
Vice President Mike Pence says the United States will continue to hold Russia accountable, but he adds that President Donald Trump wants to find new common ground with Russia. Pence's comments came Monday in Brussels, Belgium, with European Union Council President Donald Tusk. Vice President Pence did not provide any details about possible closer ties with Russia. He said that Trump believes they can be found. He said cooperation is needed to have free and fair economies, saying strengthening our economic vitality will require hard but necessary choices. Pence is on his first trip to Europe since taking office. The purpose of the trip is to let allies know that the U.S. remains a loyal friend. The vice president said he was speaking for Trump when he expressed U.S. commitment to continued cooperation and partnership with the European Union. Donald Tusk of the EU said Monday's meeting was truly needed. He said that he heard from Pence words that are promising about the future and explain the Trump administration's views. Earlier Monday, Pence held talks with EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini. She said on Twitter the two had an excellent meeting, good basis for our cooperation. Pence also met with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg in the afternoon to close his European trip. The Vice President expressed support for NATO at the alliance's security conference in Munich last Saturday. His comments came after Trump's campaign statements described NATO as obsolete, meaning no longer useful. The United States of America strongly supports NATO and will be unwavering in our commitment to our transatlantic alliance, Pence said in his first major foreign policy address for the new administration. I'm Ann Ball.
Marine Le Pen, the far-right nationalist leader, has gained more support in her campaign to become the next president of France. On Monday, a poll showed her ahead of the other two major candidates. They are the centrist Emmanuel Macron and conservative François Fillon. But Le Pen could still lose the final May 7th election to either candidate. The Paris-based political research group OpinionWay operated the study of French citizens' opinions. The group asked people who they planned to vote for out of the five total candidates. If no candidate wins a majority of the votes on April 23rd, the two candidates with the most votes face each other again in May. The poll shows Le Pen winning 27% of the first vote, more than any other candidate, but not a majority. She would then likely face either Macron or Fillon in the next round. But against either candidate in May, Le Pen would likely lose. Macron would win 58% of the vote against her 42%. Fillon would win 56% to her 44%. French investors are concerned with news of Le Pen's lead in the poll. She has suggested France stop using the currency called the euro and calls for a vote on leaving the European Union. She also suggested putting greater taxes on imported goods and contracts of foreign workers. I'm Pete Musto.
The United States is accusing a top Venezuelan official of being a major international drug trafficker. The Trump administration has announced sanctions against Vice President Tariq El-Assami for his reported involvement in cocaine shipments from Venezuela. The administration barred El-Assami from using any money or other assets under his name in the United States. The Associated Press says the government also has banned him from entering the country. El-Assami is the highest Venezuelan official ever to face U.S. sanctions. The government has classified him as a drug kingpin, someone who directs people in the illegal drug trade. On Tuesday, El-Assami said the Trump administration's actions only strengthen his support for the revolution started by former Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez. In messages on social media, El-Assami said
U.S. aggression will not stop him from doing his job of rescuing Venezuela's economy from sabotage by its conservative opponents. Observers are unsure if the sanctions mean a tightening of U.S. policy toward Venezuela or a continuation of policies from the presidency of Barack Obama. Under Obama, U.S. officials were careful not to demand the removal of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, as the opposition had been seeking. Instead, the U.S. government chose to support discussions aimed at avoiding violence. The Vatican also supported this policy. Chris Sabatini is with Latin America Goes Global, a website that follows U.S. policy toward Latin America. He said, there is increasing dissatisfaction that the discussions have yet to show results. El Asami has been the target of U.S. law enforcement investigations for years, starting in his days as Interior Minister. The investigations began when falsified Venezuelan passports were found in the Middle East. Some were in the possession of suspected Hezbollah members. A few years ago, Walid Makhled, a jailed drug trafficker, told investigators he sent payments to Venezuelan officials through El Asami's brother. He said, in return for the money, officials permitted cocaine shipments through the country's ports and airports. The U.S. announcement said El Asami had worked with drug traffickers in Mexico and Colombia to direct cocaine shipments from Venezuela. Venezuelan businessman Samark Lopez was also sanctioned. Lopez is accused of hiding money earned from the drug trade in a number of companies and real estate in the U.S., Panama, British Virgin Islands, and Venezuela.
Bao Bao was born in the United States, but she was always destined to go to China. A giant panda named Meixiang gave birth to Bao Bao at Washington's National Zoo in 2013. She was the zoo's first surviving panda cub since 2005. Visitors got to see Bao Bao for the first time in early 2014. The zoo's first giant pandas arrived in 1972. They were a gift to the United States after President Richard Nixon's historic trip to China. The U.S. agreement with China states that the cubs of pandas loaned to the National Zoo must go to China by age 4. Zoo officials have a number of events planned for Bao Bao before she travels overseas. For example, she will receive a cake made of ice. Officials say it will recognize the people who give money to the National Zoo to help finance research into animals. People around the world will be able to watch Bao Bao's final days in Washington on the zoo's PandaCam. There will be several Facebook Live events, including videos of zookeepers preparing Bao Bao for her trip, and a program showing how to make panda-themed art projects. Bao Bao's final hours at the zoo will be shown on Facebook Live on February 21st. Some of her human friends are using the hashtag #ByeByeBaoBao to say goodbye. On Twitter, Lisa wrote, I am going to miss Bao Bao so much. I have met so many people because of her. The user at Charm City Panda wrote, I love you, sweet girl. Thanks for the joy. Bao Bao will leave for China next Tuesday on a flight called the FedEx Panda Express. If you are sad about seeing her go, there are three other pandas at the zoo. You can still see her parents, Meixiang and Tian Tian, and her brother, Bei Bei. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. In the future, chemicals from plants found in and around the Mediterranean may be used to help treat people with brain diseases, such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. These two diseases are age-related and neurodegenerative. Neurodegenerative relates to the degeneration of nervous tissue, especially the brain. People suffering from Alzheimer's and Parkinson's have deposits of sticky plaque in their brains. Over time, this plaque reduces brain function. Eventually, it causes death. But scientists say the plaque deposits can be reduced with chemicals from plants, including prickly pear and brown seaweed. The scientists say the chemicals or extracts appear to replace the harmful sticky plaque with deposits that are less harmful. These scientists are researchers at the University of Malta and the National Center of Scientific Research at the University of Bordeaux. They tested the chemical extracts of the plants on a substance called brewer's yeast. This yeast had plaque deposits similar to those seen in Alzheimer's disease. Scientists say the health of the yeast improved greatly after exposure to the chemical extracts. Researchers then tested the extracts in fruit flies that were genetically changed to develop symptoms of Alzheimer's. They found that when the flies were given brown seaweed extract, their lifespans increased by 2 days. Prickly pear helped the insects live 4 days longer. That may not sound like a long time. However, the researchers remind us that 1 day in the life of a fruit fly is equal to 1 human year. Researchers also noted that movement in some of the diseased insects improved. They reported their findings in the journal Neuroscience Letters. Researchers say that the sticky plaques in both Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases appear to form through the same biological pathways. Targeting these pathways, they say, is the best way to fight the diseases. The lead author of the study is Ruben Cauchi of the University of Malta's Center for Molecular Medicine and Biobanking. He says the Mediterranean plant extracts are already used in health foods and some cosmetics, so they are very safe. The research team is working with a company that extracts the chemicals for commercial use as so-called Fountain of Youth products. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.